So last week, right after Easter Sunday, I traveled to Laredo, Mexico with my daughter, Franny, to visit our old friend and her godfather, who lives in a little house directly on the Sea of Cortez. And so for several days, I began my mornings sitting, watching the waves, seeing the sun come up over the island opposite us. I spent most of my middays sitting, watching the waves, the pelicans flying by. Late afternoons, I spent sitting, watching the waves, listening to the wind and the palm trees, and my evenings were spent sitting, watching the waves, looking at the stars as they came out. I think this is going to be my Easter week tradition from now on. It was a marvelous way to celebrate. I began the week exhausted, and I ended it at peace. So Easter peace I bring to you, my friends. Jesus is risen, and just as he said to the disciples in today's gospel, I say to you, peace be with you. That's so great. The 745ers are all like, and also with you. They just kind of automatically just comes right out. We're in this season, this 50 days of celebrating the good news of life and peace, Jesus risen. Sunday after Sunday, we get these stories of Jesus appearing again and again to all kinds of people, showing them that death is not the final word. And every one of these stories is just about the same as every other one. His disciples are there doing their own thing, whatever that is, and suddenly there's Jesus, who's just walked through a locked door or turned up on the road or otherwise appeared where he shouldn't be. And the disciples are scared, and Jesus tells them not to be. And then he does something to prove that he is who they think he is and that he's there in the flesh. And then he tells them to spread the word, and he goes away, leaving them with his peace. And every time this happens, it seems to sink in just a little bit more with these disciples. These same disciples who ran away in fear when he was arrested, who deserted him when he was crucified, who fled from the empty tomb because they were afraid. Little by little, the risen Jesus coaxes them into trusting that this good news really is true. And so in the process, he helps them move from being frightened children to being brave evangelists. And so the church is born. They do what Jesus asks them to do. They spread the word. They themselves go out and preach and teach and heal just like he did. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, the community grows, sharing the peace with one another, just as Jesus shared it with them. And all of this gift, even though they hadn't at all shown themselves to be worthy of this, to me, this is one of the most amazing themes of our scriptures, both the Hebrew stories and the Christian ones. Ordinary, messed up, broken people are chosen by God, who nurtures them, who heals them, and who calls them into new places and new work that they didn't think they could do, and thereby expanding the reach of the good news of life to all the world. And if it happens to those unworthy scripture story characters, well, it might just be that God is trying to say it could happen to us too. How amazing this news is. And perhaps we'd better look out. That theme of our not being worthy and not getting it right is really brought home quite rather sharply in that first story we heard in the book of Acts. Peter and John, who are two of Jesus' dearest disciples, heal a man, lame from birth, in the name of Jesus. The man walks, everybody stares, of course, and Peter uses this as a preachable moment, if you will. "You Israelites," he begins, "why do you wonder at us?" And then he goes on to point out how you Israelites rejected Jesus and killed him. This is ugly language, and some of the language that has fueled Christian antisemitism over the years. But Peter is himself an Israelite, and this is the same Peter who denied Jesus three times, really just days before. So as blaming as it sounds, his speech is really including himself. His point is, we all did this. We all asked for a murderer instead of Jesus. We all crucified the author of life. Remember, when we honor this story in Palm Sunday and we read that passion story together in parts, the congregation is always given the most difficult part, together saying those words, "Crucify him." We include ourselves as those who inflict horror and suffering in the world. It's important to name this. It's not them, it's us, all of us. But Peter's point is not blaming. His point is to go beyond that. He says, we acted in ignorance. We were stupid. We humans always are. And God forgives us totally, wipes out sin altogether as though it never happened. Denying Jesus, running away from the soldiers, abandoning him on the cross, all of that is left behind. When Jesus appears to the disciples again, he makes it abundantly clear. There's no recrimination. There's no, how could you? He just says to them, peace be with you. It's okay. Or as John writes in his epistle, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. God says, you are my children, and I love you, no matter what. That grace extended to all of us, and through us, meant to be extended to the whole world. Because whenever God speaks to someone in the scripture stories, they're told to go tell it to somebody else. Whenever God gives a blessing, it's meant to be spread around. Whenever Jesus says, peace be with you, he means for it to be shared. It's a whole new layer on why we're called further into spiritual growth and deepening. Often, when we talk about that, when we teach about prayer and spiritual disciplines, we focus a little bit on our individual experience of that. Like, prayer is part of a healthy lifestyle, a life of nutrition, exercise, good sleep, and mindfulness. Mindfulness itself getting kind of picked up by popular culture, separate entirely from religious community. You can use an app to be mindful. You can go to a workshop on mindfulness at your tech company. You can teach mindfulness to children in a public school. And sometimes maybe that will tip over into sort of Buddhist-type teachings on compassion and loving kindness, the idea being that lowering our stress levels, building in peace, is going to make us more patient, gentle people. And all of that is true and to the good. This world needs more healthy, loving people. And there's more to God's peace than that. The peace that Jesus offers those frightened disciples isn't just quiet confidence and reassurance for themselves alone. It's not just sort of a forgiving pat on the head, relax, it's okay. The peace Jesus brings is the peace of the Holy Spirit, the peace that we celebrate at the Feast of Pentecost just a few weeks from now, peace that breathes into us and stirs us, maybe opens our eyes to see injustice in the world, opens our eyes to see suffering on the face of those we know and those we don't know, opens our hearts to ache, opens ourselves to realize we need to act. Peter and John, in that story, they're on their way to the temple to do their daily prayers. They're not looking to do anything besides find their own peace and spiritual experience. And this man presents himself to them in need. They could have said simply, look, we need to go honor our need for peace. We need to go in and just kind of have our spiritual moment. We don't have time for you right now. But they stop and they engage directly with him. They heal him in the name of Jesus, and total chaos results. People come running, there's excitement, and they get arrested, and the story just keeps going on from there. And all these stories in the book of Acts, over and over, when Jesus' followers respond to the message of peace that he has given them, things happen. Things happen, and they never stop, because they're filled with God's peace, and it just keeps pushing them on. Peace be with you, Jesus says. First, yes, stop and breathe that in. Let go of the fear of the news headlines. Let go of the crush of anxiety over the daily stuff. And breathe in that peace. You don't have to go watch the waves to do this. You can build this in to every day, over and over throughout the day. Prayer, quiet, moments of rest, glimpses of God's quiet in our hearts, even in the midst of our chaos. But then look out, because God's peace keeps moving. When we breathe it in for ourselves, we breathe it out for the world. The more we breathe it in, the more we are stirred. The more we are turned from disciples who follow and listen to apostles who are sent. People who are sent to go be Jesus' hands and feet in this world, to heal and preach and teach just like he did, not waiting for God to come and fix it someday, but ourselves being the ones who carry that mission forward. To spread the word, to right the wrongs, to bless this world, and to bring God's peace, because it is for everyone. Amen.